The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, beginning with the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace on this blessed Easter morning from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to be honest with you this morning. Our gospel reading from Mark is not my favorite account of the resurrection. In fact, it troubles me. You can ask Pastor Mark. I even suggested changing it this week to one of the other gospel accounts. You see, Mark's account of the resurrection has me wanting to fill in the gaps. I want the women to see evidence. I want them to see grave clothes. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to leave with excitement, ready to proclaim that Jesus was risen. But none of that happens. Instead, we watch as these women who never leave during the crucifixion, these women who watch as Jesus is placed into the tomb, we watch as they return early in the morning after the Sabbath has ended to perform one final act of loyalty and devotion. They go to the tomb fully expecting to find a dead body. They brought spices to anoint him. They were not expecting to find Jesus alive. You don't anoint living bodies. As they walked to the tomb, they wondered who would roll away that large tomb, that large stone for them so that they could get in. They weren't wondering whether or not Jesus would be there. They were still not expecting Jesus to be alive. So when they arrive at the tomb and see that the stone has been rolled away, I wonder what they were thinking. Did they wonder if this was a joke? Did they think that someone had stolen Jesus' body? Finding the empty tomb was not a point of celebration for them. They didn't immediately go back to all the things that Jesus had told them. Finding the empty tomb brought them confusion and fear. When they see the man in the tomb dressed in white, they are alarmed. They're afraid. And the man says to them, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Even though they are told that Jesus goes before them to Galilee, the place where Jesus preached and taught and healed, even though they are told to tell the disciples and even Peter, the disciple who denied him, even though they are faced with this amazing reality, they fled the scene. They're filled with terror and amazement. And here's the kicker. This is the part I don't like. They tell no one. Because they are afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid that this could possibly be true. They were afraid, unsure, confused. They weren't ready to accept that Christ had risen from the dead. And this is how the resurrection story originally ends in the book of Mark. It stops right there. Some later writers add more to it, but originally the story of Jesus according to Mark ends with the women leaving the tomb afraid and amazed and saying nothing to anyone. It's so frustrating. We want them to see Jesus. We want them to understand what's going on. We want them to celebrate and not be afraid and confused. We want them to be excited and comforted by the fact that Jesus is going before them to Galilee. We want them to tell the world and not be silent. But you can't really blame the women for how they reacted, can you? I don't know if I would have reacted any differently. We gather each Easter morning and celebrate the good news of Christ's resurrection. We sing beautiful hymns. The sanctuary is adorned with white. Easter lilies and other flowers fill the altar area and more. We say with confidence, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. We may even think that the women who went to the tomb on the first Easter should have believed right away. We might wonder, why were they afraid? Why didn't they tell anyone? Why didn't they believe? Why didn't they remember what Jesus said he was going to do? But who can blame them, really? I mean, believing that Jesus has been resurrected means that they had to truly believe the claim that God had entered humanity, that God had come among them in order to create an entirely new reality. And a new reality can be absolutely frightening. Resurrection throws off the balance. It upsets the apple cart. It throws our neat and orderly lives out of whack. Which is why I think if we don't find the resurrection just a little bit hard to believe, we're probably not taking it very seriously. And I know that's quite a claim, but hear me out. I suspect that's where most of us are. We've heard this story of the resurrection so often that it hardly makes us blink, let alone shake with wonder and surprise. We've lost the urge to ask, are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Because yes, the resurrection is hard to believe. It doesn't happen every day. And with the resurrection, there comes this promise, a promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation to those who believe. And that promise is huge. And that promise can be hard to believe as well. It can seem foolish to outsiders. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The cross, the resurrection, they don't make sense. It's not through facts or logic, but it's through the eyes of faith that we come to believe. It's not our own doing. It's because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in and among us that we believe. I mean, think about it. We, along with the rest of Jesus' disciples, if we are honest with ourselves, struggle to believe at times because we fail to recognize how amazing the resurrection really is. God is creating a new reality each and every day, overthrowing death, sin, and all that oppresses us. God declares once and for all that life is more powerful than death and love more enduring than tragedy. God broke into our world and turned it upside down. And this is not a joke. It's not just a nice story that gives us a reason for a holiday. It is the good news of Jesus Christ that has saved us. It is the good news that has the power to bring the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. It is the good news that has the power to change the world. Our gospel lesson, yes, ends today by telling us that the women did not tell anyone. Even though it seems like it, this is not the end, and we know that. Even in the midst of their fear, their doubt, their questions, these women eventually did tell the good news. They let go of their need for certainty and the amazing gift of the resurrection, and their sharing became a revolution. Their sharing of the news of this amazing reality changed the world. Think about it. They shared with the disciples. The disciples shared with the known world, and it moved throughout the world until it came here to Bismarck, North Dakota, where we are today. And that is the reason that we are gathered and celebrating today, is because those women did share. They shared the good news. So how might we, in spite of our doubts and questions, share the good news in word, in deed, in everything that we do? How might we share the good news of the resurrection today? Maybe our sharing will change the world too. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.